Welcome to this week's sermon from Heights Worship Center. We believe God has something for you today. We hope this message encourages and inspires you.
America is in the crossroad. America is in search for something. They're not in search only for a new president, but they are in search of God's divine intervention for the future of this nation. Come on, say amen. Hallelujah. America is still an apostolic nation. America will still send missionaries to the world. America will still be an instrument of God. It's the only nation that says one nation under God. And I would want to add more to that by saying one nation under the blood of Jesus. Come on. One nation under the blood of Jesus. Why? No Iron Dome, no satellite, no defense system can guard America. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. So that is our hope. That is our protection. That is our assurance as a people of God. So when the church stands up against darkness, when the church stands up against the work of the evil one, you are being God's shield. Come on, tell your neighbor, you're God's shield because you're under the blood. Hallelujah. And God protects America because Jesus is with us. Hallelujah. He shed abroad his blood. Hallelujah. For all of us together. Let me read to you first verse that we would want to use this morning to be able to launch us to what God would want for us as a people. First, let's read Ezekiel 22, verse 30 and 31. I look for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I search for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land, but I found no one. So now I will pour out my fury on them, consuming them with the fire of my anger. I will heap on their heads the full penalty of all their sins, and I, the sovereign Lord, had spoken. According to this verse, it's a prophetic word for Israel, but at the same time, it's a word for the body of Christ that begins to function in the role as interceding for nations, interceding for the lost, interceding for the needs of the people. For that reason, God is looking for someone. God is in search for someone to stand in the gap for America. God is looking for someone to stand in the gap for your family, for your needs, for the issues of the heart, for the many things that you are concerned of, that God is looking for someone. We thank God for the prayer warriors here in the church. They stand in the gap. We pray for one another. But hey, as a church, as a collective body, we stand for the lost, we stand for the nation, and we stand for those that God will bring to his kingdom. But God is looking for someone to rebuild the wall of righteousness. Today, we could see that righteousness is the thing that holds us and make America or make the people of God different. The major thing that releases us into a distinction as a people of God, not a club, not as an association, because we enhance the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Let me read Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules the people, rules the people groan. And we can see this as a result of a mandate that God has given to Israel to be able to follow their rulers that leads them to righteousness, to follow the voice of God through the prophets and to those that God has placed to be able to issue a word of warning for the people. I felt that last Sunday, Pastor Don's message was a word for us to possess, to be able to step in the calling and say, we had been called as a people to stand in the gap for our city, for our community, and especially for our family. Not only that those will rebuild the wall, we have those scriptures, thank you, those that would rebuild the wall, it says that they will also guard the land. So that means not only America is looking for righteousness, but America is looking for guardians. Guardians that will guard the spirituality of this nation. When I spoke many months ago about the first prayer that was prayed in America, that happened in Virginia Beach, you know, where a pastor and those that first came to America uttered prayers of dedication for what this land to become. You know, I reviewed that prayer, and it included not only America, but even nations in the world that will be influenced by America, by the preaching of the word. So still America is looking for a guardian. May its guardian be the word of God. May its guidance be the word of God. And may the one that would protect America will still be God, who is revered among us all. Number three, it says in this verse, if you have opened it to your scripture, is God, he says, I search for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I would not have to destroy the land. But unluckily, or very sadly, I would say, he has found none. At that time in Israel, God would always raise up a voice. God would always raise up a king. God would always raise up someone from amongst the people of Israel to lead them back to God. And yet at this time when it was spoken to Ezekiel, it says that God could find none. I pray that when God finds somebody to stand in the gap for America, here's my prayer. He can find you, 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 you. So God is looking, and tell your neighbor says he finds you. There you go. No escape. No escape. No, but there's no escape door here. Lock the door, please. Okay. God finds you. You're here this morning. You're hearing this message because God is putting in your heart to be able to see that America is protected, that America fulfill its destiny and divine role for what he has called it to be. So I search for someone, but today God has found it, and it's called Heights Worship Center. Give a hand of praise. We want to be that church that will stand in the gap. Okay, it's not only an individual calling, but it is a calling, corporate calling of us all. So when you listen to the preaching of Pastor Adon, as you listen to it as an individual, begin to listen to it as a corporate body, it totally changes the mindset that we work together in unity. We work together, you know, on the same page, moving forward in making the effectual changes and transformation that God would bring to the land. So now that was in Israel, but today here, God has found us as a people to stand in the gap. For that reason, that's why the women went to Washington, D.C. We did not want to be in default for the opportunity that millions or thousands has come and millions responded to the call to stand in the gap, you know, being online and yet in person. How many? 21? 24 from Heights Worship Center stood in person in Washington, D.C. for America, for what is the future that awaits America. So hallelujah. I'm so thrilled about that. You know why? We had some solo flights in the past. We have some just individual prayer walk, but it could be 2005, Pastor Adon. We were in Rock. What city was it with Pastor Porter? We were with. Okay. So we were with Pastor Porter. And in one of those 24 hours worship, the Lord caused us to divide us into teams. And different worship team were assigned to the White House, to Pentagon, to the Treasury, to the veterans. And we just blanketed that whole place. with worshiping soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and only to find out that there are also people walking around, you know, bringing their prayer in behalf of America and of the nation. And I believe that is still the same, that today those that burn with a passion to see God transform America is still in the gap praying for this nation's salvation and for the soul of this nation as well. So, because if not, we don't fulfill this, here are the things that the scripture says, that because he has found none, he says here, I will bring my fury, I will bring consuming fire, and he will bring the penalty for our sins. But when we see, let me see, there, okay, so we have those scriptures. All right, so when we see that God would bring guardians that would be able to stand in the gap, we could see that God can bring healing and wholeness. God can bring restoration and stop the fury, stop the destruction, and stop the works of darkness that will not prevail over the land. I had encountered in my travel, and at the same time in different conversation, especially with my grandkids, you know, very much interested with Japanese culture, especially Zion, learning to speak Japanese, read Japanese, and do Japanese art, and write Japanese. So, you know, so whenever we had little conversation with our grandkids, that comes about. And so we told them their granddaddy, their lolo, their grandlola, you know, we're missionaries to Japan. And one of the things that we have found is the art of kintsugi. The art of kintsugi, I allow you to open your phone. K-I-N-T-S-U-I-G. The reason being, I'd like for you to see a picture of what is kintsugi. It is an art of restoring broken pieces of vessels, glass, ceramics, or anything. And the thing that they use to restore it is they bring it powdered gold together with, mixed with the thing that the lacquer, they say urusi lacquer, dusted or mixed with powdered gold, silver, or platinum to restore the vessel again. So don't be afraid if the enemy made a mess of your life. I'm going to say it again clear. Don't be afraid if the enemy has messed up your life, because he has a special way of restoring you to the higher degree, and that is more than gold. You see, we still bear the marks. Each one of us bear the marks of our past. But hey, I bear the marks of the future for what the Word of God has to tell me. Okay, it's not my past that dictates my future. It is the Word that dictates my future and what is ahead of me. So that if we stand as guardians for America, if we stand as watchmen, watchwomen for America, we are like gold being sprinkled into the cracks. My head right now is spinning in the sense, wow, I see the whole process. I see the whole picture, you know. And it was not cheap for those gold to be able, but you're stuck together for the purpose of mending, restoration, and healing the nation. That is when you stand in the gap of being broken. That means you are in the gap of what has been broken, so you can put it together. So when you say, Lord, now I stand in the gap, don't be afraid. You are an instrument of God. He pours out his precious promises. He pours out his covenant in your life so that you can be the instrument that would put things and lives together for the glory of God. Today, America is a product of that, because many people in the past took their calling to stand in the gap and be able to see God do the work that he has given to America, to each individual. So here we go. We can see that America in search. And now first, he is number one. He is searching for a messenger. Searching for a messenger. Let's read together Ezekiel chapter 33. We will be reading from verse 1 way up to verse 9, but we'll break it into four sections. So here we go. Searching for a watchman. Verse 3 to 5. When a watchman sees the enemy. Verse 1. Okay, we'll read from verse 1 and 2. Once again, a message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, give your people this message. When I bring an army against a country, the people of that land choose one of their own to be a watchman. Ezekiel 33, verse 1 and 2. So there was a message given for Israel to find somebody to be in the gap. I felt like last Sunday was a message from the Lord calling Heights Worship Center to be a watch church. That we collectively is a watch church, and fulfilling that role as a watch church, we are a watch church for our community yesterday. We were given an opportunity to step into the gap in behalf of Hacienda Heights, you know, and say, God, you know, if God is saying to us, say, okay, God, if you can entrust us with Hacienda Heights, as you heard Pastor Adon prayed, she prayed for Whittier, for all of our different cities around here, and God will entrust to us the rest of the Los Angeles area, and the rest of the nation. How come, right? We set our gaze to a greater degree of a vision for the sake of the nation. So the word of the Lord came to me. That means God continues to speak to the church. God continued to reveal himself to each one of us. And I believe that we heard last Sunday that many areas on where we can be standing in the gap. There was a call for us to stand in the gap for the sanctity of life. There was a call for to stand in the gap for freedom. There was a call to stand in the gap for the children, for adoption, for those that needed. The reason I put in my notes adoption, because our ministry together with the Assemblies of God, like about five years ago, launched a whole nationwide ministry for family adoption. Because there is like about 400,000 or 500,000 kids that don't still have a home. They just move around from different shelter, and they needed so crucially at this time to have a family and a home that would be able to be foster parents for them. And so for the area of somebody standing in the gap for sexuality and standing in the gap in behalf of Israel or anti-Semitism, we're in this area is a call that there is, and there has to be somebody who would rally the call and the need to be able to be a salt and light in those areas. And I believe that we are equipped to do this, in being able to be prepared to do this, because God has seasoned us as a church. And we ask and pray that God will give us the right timing. We have discernment on how to step forward in being able to make a difference in our community. Right now, God entrusted to us the schools, the public schools, and many other places. But God, we say, we want to do more for you. And as the Lord sees us fit, we will step in with grace and with his calling to do exactly what God has called us to do. So give us the people give us the message, Lord, and then give your people this message was a call. And so we need to be true to the message of the word of God. And I believe that what God would want to do for us continually is to have a hearing ear for what the Spirit is saying to the church. It is not just in the book of Revelation, but it is for today. that we have to keep on listening to God for what he has to say for us, that we may be messengers, that we are not hearers of the word, but we will be doers of the words and at the same time, messengers. So God is searching for a messenger to live it out loud and at the same time to bring the reality of the word to those that is around us. Number three line says, the people of that land choose one of their own to be a watchman. So from amongst their own, God is choosing people. So if you could see, God is choosing children to be a witness to children. God is choosing young people to be a witness to the young people. God is choosing young adults to be a witness from among them to be a person or a watch person for those people group in our society. So you belong to a people group. Thank you. I have the fan already, guys. I don't know what's the air conditioning here. You know, I came from tropical planet. You know, but right now, wow, maybe I see the lights. So, okay, thank you. All right, here we go. So we can see that God would want us to deliver this message because God has a purpose for the people. The people of that land, in number three, the people of that land choose from among them to be able to be a watch person. So today, as we continually have the kids, we're training them. Intentionally, we are equipping them, giving them space and room for where can they serve. We don't want to wait until they grow up and learn the rest of the other things in the world so that, you know, the things of God is way, way, way behind. And yesterday, Giselle, thank you for sharing the word to the children. It was so powerful. You know, I was looking at the faces of the parents, how they're responding. You know, the kids were all tied there. They want to win the costume contest, you know. So they're in another world. But when you lead them in prayer, they follow you. But, you know, the parents were the one listening. It looks like the parents were the one getting saved. So that was the thing. That was that they bring in the kids and the parents get saved. Hallelujah. So only eternity will reveal many of those that have received the word yesterday that would bring to fruition the fullness of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we desire in this church to raise up watchmen, messengers of the word from all ages. Hallelujah. So that they will be ready and equipped in their time as that opportunity will come. And so we could see that God would choose always somebody from among them. So in your workplaces, you had been chosen by God to be that messenger. Where you are that chosen people. So don't look at, where's Pastor Adon? No, that's you now. Step up to the plate, okay? Because not only, as I told you, there was an individual call, but as a corporate body of the Lord Jesus Christ, we move in together in that call to be a watch person for God. My mentor, Dr. Paul Clark, preached his first message. I could not believe it and said, Pastor Paul, did you preach not even knowing Jesus yet? He just preached John 3:16. In the Navy ship, and people got saved only later on to be told by somebody, hey, you have to be this, you know, in your acceptance of, oh, okay, let me receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. You know, but boom, even the donkey can speak. So he was not a donkey, you know, but his mouth opened up. So folks, God can use anything, right? Hallelujah. So we thank the Lord that we are chosen to do that. But let me say, Sister Rose, you have that shofar, because when a watchman is watching on the wall, let me read this verse. When the watchman sees, next verse, searching for a watchman. First, searching for a messenger, and second, searching for a watchman or a watch person. When the watchman sees the enemy coming, he sounds the alarm or he sounds the trumpet to warn the people. Then if those who hear the alarm refuses to take action. It is their own fault if they die. They heard the alarm but ignored it, so the responsibility is theirs. If they have listened to the warning, they could have saved their lives. So what it will be for the watchmen in those days that stand in the wall, their warning sign or their siren or whatever, their alarm would sound like this. Go ahead, Sister Rose. Here we go. Thank you. Give a hand of praise to Jesus. Hallelujah. That's pretty hard. After church, you try to blow it. You know, it will be a good test for your lungs. Thank you. But they will hear the type of sound. And by the way, there are different sounding of that alarm, of that horn for call to worship, you know, for warning sign or for charging to battle or doing things, you know, that needed to be done. And so that was their main instrument. So whenever we use shofars in worship, there is a call to spiritual war. We are warring in the heavenlies, in the dark places. Our worship and prayer invades where it is darkest the most, that the Spirit of God is being able to destroy the works of the enemy and of the stronghold. And so we can see that the watchman sees the enemy coming. That means the watch person, it's very watchful. He has great vision. He is proactive in seeing things, not just in the natural, but they see things as well in the spiritual realm. So we could see that his eyes are open, he's alert. So what was the song a while ago? Awaken your people. Yeah, that's the reason why we pray, Lord, awaken us into your revelation. Awaken us into your call. Awaken us, make us aware of what you are doing so that we join you where you are doing something and it's not going to fail. But if we fail to see what God is doing, then we're just trying to do our own program. We're just trying to do our own thing. It's not really the main thing that God would want for us to do. But when we see the activity of God, we rush in and rally in those places and say, God, hallelujah, we want the children of California. And God is right here in California right now defending the rights of the children. Why? They try to take away the rights of the children, of the parents towards the children. And we're saying no to that. Okay, and so we would want to be there as a watch person, you know, for the sake of our children and of our family. There's more. You have to listen to Pastor Don's preaching last Sunday. But I'm making you aware, we sound those alarms. We sound off the prayer. We sound out the cries. We sound out the women's hub prayer meeting. And all the women say, amen. Hallelujah. So in the background, men, we're going to take care of the kids at home, maybe, when the women go out to be able to do the prayer. We do some of the household chores to cover so that our women can be there in the front line. And all the men say, oh watch. That was not popular. But if I say, and all the women say, see, there you go. Boy, that was another day of a conversation at the golf course with the men. Okay. So here we go. All right. So we see the enemy coming. We are awakened to the fact that we are always on alert. Number two, we sound the alarm to warn the people. As they receive the alarm, they would know exactly what is this for. When there is a sound of an alarm, where's my north? Is this north? They sound an alarm in the north, they would understand that the enemy is coming there. So all the army would be rallying on that side, whichever side of the city of Jerusalem. They would know exactly where to rally when that horn is being sounded. So when the sound of the alarm to defend the children, what we do? We cover our children with prayer in their school, in their playground, and where the children are. And when we bring them to church, we know that we are equipping our children to be able to be ready as well for their own battle. So never think the kids are too young to learn this. Because the way the enemy right now is working, he really wanted to take the kids away from God. So when we hear the alarm, we rally to where the need is. We pray through, we fast, we intercede. And as the alarm is being sounded, again, I refer, you want to hear the different alarms being sounded, listen to the preaching of Pastor Adon last Sunday. There you go. Those were the alarming points of where we have to be awakened to the realities of the issues of the day. When they refuse to take action, line number three, it is their own fault. So when they have sounded the alarm and the people did not take action, whatever happens during the time, it will be their own fault. They did not obey. They did not subscribe. They did not follow the instruction. As you understand, you know, warfare in these days is totally different from the warfare that is taking place. And we just begin to acknowledge that God has a way of fighting spiritual battles. So when fighting spiritual battles, you know, as soon as we heard, we can usher in a prayer, and there is no distance in prayer right away. And this week, I don't know how many miracles we have received of people being healed through prayer. Okay, and we just felt that God has intervened into those situations that people are receiving, you know, their healing, their wellness, or their progress towards healing. And so we believe that, you know, opportunities to step in the gap to pray for the people that are in need is always an opportunity for the supernatural work of God to manifest among us. But when they refuse to take action, it will be their fault. They will die. If they ignored, so it will be their responsibility. So they will own the fault and the result and the consequences of the refusal to obey the warning. Then the next verse will follow with the one of those who listened. If they have listened to the warning, they could have saved their lives. So when they listened to the warning, not only they saved their lives, but they are able to save lives of others. Whenever you take the plane, you know, you're being told, put on your own oxygen mask. Then you put on somebody next to you. Because that is, you know, especially for children, I should say. And that means that your salvation, for what is meant to be shared, your salvation is not just for yourself. So if you experience salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, you have an obligation to release salvation to the next person beside you. I could tell you stories in the airplane, how many people get saved being seated beside Sister Rose. So this time somebody got seated beside Sister Rose. You know, you want always to rest and kind of grab a hold of sleep. But if you have somebody beside you, you just need to share the gospel. So it ended up sharing the gospel, receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and because we were, storytelling time, we were celebrating a 45th wedding anniversary in the plane. So we have special treat of snacks, drinks, and everything. So there was a midnight snack called arroz caldo. So those of you who know what arroz caldo means, it's a porridge with chicken wings, specifically. With chicken on it, and with ginger, and just with the whole mix, right? And they said, whoa, they serve us right there in a row where we're just only one, two of us celebrating. But our neighbor got a serving of the arroz caldo, too. So here we go. Oh, because the server thought that we are all together as a family. Got the benefit. She just accepted Jesus and she got a scaldo too. I cannot resist the story. The benefits and the gifts of the kingdom operated so instantaneously that she got the benefit. It just went in the form of a snack or a rescaldo. But what it would be for the kingdom of God? What it would, because you shared, it's not only for yourself. So when you listen up to the warning, that means it's not only for your own benefit, but for the whole benefit of your family, for the whole benefit of your neighborhood. Now you know that the responsibility is getting heavier for the benefit of your whole workplace. And for you, where you have the sphere of responsibility, that they too would have the joy of knowing the Lord through you. Thirdly, next verse 6. So another blowing of the shofar, please. I told Sister Rose to blow the shofar again before we read the second verse. Verse 6. Go ahead. Thank you. Yay! But if the watchman's... Okay. All right. But if the watchman, verse 6 right now, but if the watchman sees the enemy coming and doesn't sound the alarm to warn the people, he is responsible for their captivity. That's how serious it is now. This, they will die in their sins, but I will hold the watch person, the watchman, the watchwoman, responsible for their death. It's getting pretty serious because now we understand, as the scripture, I read it, you know, in the King James Version, it says, their blood will be required in your hands. That's the language in the King James Version. Their blood will be required in your hand. And so the watchman, when sees the enemy, has to do his job. And if he fails to do his job, then it would cost lives. So if you don't speak for the unborn, it costs lives. If you don't speak for the marriages, it costs lives. If you don't speak for the children, it costs lives. If you don't speak for free speech, it will cost lives. If you don't speak for the realities of freedom, how America needed to be free, it will cost lives. And for that reason, we speak out. And when we speak, we don't whisper. We speak it loud. That means we got to be bold. We got to be there so that it's not only our voice that we is being heard, but that the voice of God is being heard among them. Do you know that your vote is also your voice? You want to intercede for America? One more time, question. You want to intercede for America? You want to be in the gap for America? Vote. Vote is your voice. Vote is your value. Vote is your vision for America. And we believe that as you hear the word of God, you had already been taught and how to choose the leaders that would lead you in line of righteousness and godliness in knowing what it is to be a nation under God, as I say it, and one nation under the blood. Hallelujah. And we claim that for America. I was listening to different types of conversation around. I know America is not, when I say is not ignorant about the gospel. They know the language. In fact, they use biblical narratives and political, you know, scriptural language to kind of win votes. But you know exactly how they are in their hearts. So I pray that you will be discerning in being able to see, as Pastor Don mentioned, who's the closest to the very, very ideals of the scripture. Do they uphold, you know, the freedom of speech. They uphold the right of the unborn. They uphold, you know, standing for Israel and many other things that was mentioned. And I believe that God would be able to do the work that he has intended. Before I go to my last portion of the message, you know, when you're a watchman, when you're bringing a warning to the people, there will always be a sign for people to know what you are talking about. So a story is being told of a person who is a railway guard, how do you call them, that they put out the light, you know. And so there was something that is going to happen in a cross section, you know, that the rail man said, oh, wow, this is going to be a collision. All right. And so he held the lamp and he swung the light like this. He swung the lamp and all of that. But the train did not stop. He swung again, you know, and he has to get out of the way. The train did not stop and the collision happened. So there's a court case. This happened in Africa. The court case was being done and say, did you take the lamp and swung the lamp? Yes, I did. Three times he was asked, you do take the lamp and swung to warn. Did you take the lamp? So yes, I took the lamp to warn. Only later on it said, did you light the lamp? Light the night. I could not say much more. We wave the lamp yesterday with the light. My spirit was just rejoicing, you know, because we were doing it in the spirit. We're not just doing it for a few hundreds that came yesterday. We're doing it like this into the spirit realm and say, Satan, enemy in the darkness, you cannot fool the people of Los Angeles. We're holding up the light to warn them of the danger. They need Jesus. They need the word of God. So Heights Worship Center, you are a watchman because you are holding that lamp with a light in it, which is the word of God. Let's finish the task for the day by reading the last portion of the scripture, reading from verse 7 to verse 9. So not only searching for a watchman, for a messenger, searching for a watchman, but now searching for the one who will take responsibility, but now searching for the church, his body. Verses 7 and 9, please. Now, son of man, I'm keeping you a watchman, making you a watchman for the people of Israel. Therefore, listen to what I say and warn them for me. If I announce that some wicked people are sure to die and you fail to tell them to change their ways, then they will die in their sins. And I hold you responsible for their debts. But if you warn them to repent and they don't repent, they will die in their sins. But you will have saved yourself. With this scripture, I'm going to end the message by saying that obedience matters to the whole Christian faith. Obedience matters to the whole Christian faith. We could be hearing, preaching, teaching, Bible study all of our life in the American language until you're blue in the face. I learned that. Wow, you know, that means you might have exhausted all the resources, but if you don't do exactly and obey what God has for you, people and lives will be lost. So we say, God is making you a watch person. God is looking for someone to stand in America. God is looking for somebody to stand here in California, in Los Angeles. God is looking for somebody to stand in your community. I have a habit every time I see a post office. I post my prayer. It was like about when 9/11 took place, that's when the Holy Spirit stirred my heart how to pray for America. Every time I see an American flag, I pray for America. It triggers me. That's my trigger point. Especially when I see a post office, I don't post it in Facebook. I post it in the heavenly, in the post office. So post office, post your prayer to the heaven. Yeah, are you getting a little clue here? Maybe that's just me and my imagination, you know. But somehow God will do something for you. What will trigger your faith to take action? Oh, poor kid, poor guy, poor this. When you see a situation or trigger you to action and do what God is asking for you to do. So God is making a watchman for his people. And that's you and me. Number two, it says, listen to what I say and warn them for me. That little phrase, warn them for me. What you're doing is not for yourself. You're not doing yourself a favor. You were, what? I do a favor for God? Yeah, he did just ask you. If you do this, you're doing this for me. Isn't that God? How in the world God would ask you a favor? I thought we get favor from God and now God wants our favor. Because you are his watchman. You are the watchman. You are God's chosen voice to speak forth for what God desires to do in this world, in your life, and for other lives. So I thought that stood out in the reading of the scripture that God says, do this for me. You're not doing it only for America. You're not doing it for your family, for all the rest of those that you love. But because you love God first, you do it for the Lord, right? On the second, third line, wicked people are sure to die if you fail to tell them to change their ways. Wow. That means, you know, when you issue a word of warning, and if we fail not to tell them, we take the responsibility. We will be taking the consequences of the failure of letting them know. We will be, yeah, we did. We did swing the lamp, but we didn't put a light to it. You know, what a tragic situation. And so we didn't want to make that mistake, that we could be here in Hacienda Heights and fail to really be a light to the community. But thanks be to God, we were there yesterday with our lamps swinging to light our community in the spirit. Number four, as the scripture, I will hold you responsible for their death. So what kind of payment we could give to the eternal consequence of failure because people are eternally lost? There's one time I had an invitation to pray for somebody in the hospital for something that was totally, emergency, critical, but for some conflict of time and schedule, I was not able to make it. Every time I think about it, I am totally crushed to the very core of me because I'm not able to be there for that very time of need. Wow, if there was like video voice call, maybe I could have. I have administered final prayer before people go to be with the Lord by voice messages, by video call, but right there. If I am in the capacity to be there in person, I will be there in person. The Lord allowed me to do one during COVID time. You're not able to go inside. I showed them and said, I'm a clergy. It's one of my members that is needed to be there. I won't mention name. But I was able to be that deathbed and pray and minister to the rest of the family that were there. We could see that our obedience matters so much because it talks about eternal lives of people lost forever. And so there is a passion in our heart to tell them the love of Jesus. There is a passion in our heart to be able to embrace them and say, God wants you to be in his family. God wants to embrace you and take you to be his own, because God desires for everyone to be saved. And we are the messengers to be able to give that to the people. We don't want to be responsible for their being lost. And lastly, but if you warn them to repent, and they did not repent, you warned them, but they did not change their ways, they will die in their sins, but you have saved yourself. Still painful to think. You know, I don't take a release. Ha, I've done my part. It's so hard to say that, whether they receive or not, because it meant lives will be lost. And that's the reason why, when I say this, God give people second chances. So I go back again. They refuse me once, fine. Refuse me second, fine. I think if they get tired of me, they will receive Jesus. You know, maybe that's good. But hey, don't be afraid to be rejected. Jesus was, and he got nailed. Anybody nailed here? None yet. So who got the problem? We don't have the problem. You're rejected. Jesus was, you know, but got nailed to it. We still are spared. Maybe we got a little kind of blush and say, oh, wow, that's a tough situation. Well, better luck next time. No, we don't take luck. We will be blessed next time and every time we do it. I believe there is someone in your life that needed to hear it the second time around. Worship team, join me. I'm praying that today God would be able to, as watch people, you know, there are people that needed to not only know, but needed to be able to see the true love of Jesus Christ.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Visit us in person or online at hwcim.org.